Radio.
Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
Get soft with it.
Welcome to Emotional Hangs. That's Kurt Braunohler.
That's Joe DeRosa.
This is the podcast where we talk about adult emotions and friendship and vulnerability. So on the count of three, one, two, three,
let's get soft.
Kurt, how are you?
You know what? I'm good, Joe. I'm good. I'm happy to have some friend time. I've been having a lot of family time, and family time is a new thing for me. And it's just recently become wonderful, I think.
Okay.
I think my daughter, she's now, tomorrow will be 8 months old, or not 2 months old, rather.
Yeah, it was
old.
Like 8 months.
No, what? 8 weeks old. And 8 weeks is like the 2 month mark is important because it's like if she gets a fever. After 2 months, she doesn't have to get a spinal tap. But before 2 months, if she gets a fever, they have to fucking stick a needle into her backbone.
Oh, God.
So that's like big deal.
And
she's 2 months old.
2 months, this is when you have the birds and the bees discussion, too, right?
Well, I started on day one with them. But she still doesn't know that I'm a thing outside of her body. So it was weird.
I got you. Right now, you're kind of like my dog's green ball. It's just you're a thing that's there.
Yeah.
He's not sure if that ball's alive or not.
He's not. Yeah, I've watched him interact with it, and I'm pretty sure he might think it's his baby.
That's what I say that on stage. I go, please stop telling me dogs are intelligent. They're not. They're intelligent for animals.
Yeah.
My dog is a green ball. He thinks it's his child. He's a fucking idiot. You know, sorry, buddy. Look how sad he looks. Like he knows really what we're saying. Maybe he does know sad. What we're saying.
We're in Joe DeRosa's fuck pad right now, just relaxing and really enjoying it. Taking in his electronic drum kit. You have an electronic drum kit, and I know you're a musician. You play music.
Yeah.
But an electronic drum kit has got to be the dorkiest of all the instruments, other than a guitar. It goes guitar, electronic drum kit.
Here's why you're
and
wrong.
And then bongos.
You're right about the guitar and the bongos. No, electronic. See, this is what everybody thinks. Everybody sees an electronic drum kit and they think it's going to sound like cheesy and dumb, and it's going to sound like you're hitting plastic, and it's going to be these really synthesized sounds, whatever. That thing has full mesh heads.
Yeah,
it's a Roland. It is completely customizable. It sounds like a real kit. People make fun of it, and then I go, sit down at it and play it. And I put the headphones on their head, and they go, oh, never mind, sorry. It's like, yeah, it's a real drum kit. You're playing a drum kit that nobody can hear but you.
I mean, it's just the look of it, though. It really looks like, it looks like, because that's like the top part of the apartment, and it's a lofted area. It looks like down, it's like Depeche Mode lives up there.
They do.
Depeche Mode lives above you.
That's where they've been. If anybody was wondering, I've had
what
them,
they're doing.
I've had them in my loft. Well, I do. My entire living space, the thing I like about a loft apartment is, number one, you get really high ceilings, which is great. But it's also a big open space. So I feel that as a single man, it allows you to create more of a living environment for yourself where everything is sort of connected and kind of, you know, I'm distracted. My friend just texted me, I'm at Jumbo's if you want to come have a drink. Jumbo's is a strip club.
And it is 5:15. It's 5:20.
Sorry, that just really distracted me. But anyway... It's the entire apartment has very much an electronic-y sort of vibe. I mean, there's a lot of retro video games and electronics in here.
Yeah.
And not in a junk shop kind of way, in a sort of decorative kind of way. But I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. But you can go back to making fun of it.
I love making fun of it, Joe.
I know
it's
you
fun.
Do. It's fine. It's fine. Come on.
So, here's what I want to do right off the bat. I think I would love to get right into Vulnerability Corner. Before we move on to what we're really going to talk about.
Okay.
So now I understand you you might have a little journal entry for me.
Yeah, this is another excerpt from my random thoughts file. And I wrote this, I don't know how long ago I wrote this, but here it is. I have a theory on why the good die young. They're too advanced for this primal reality. That's why they're always perplexed and frustrated by and always attempted to change their surroundings. They're out of step because they're out of place. They deserve better, an elevated plane. So they leave us through what we perceive to be senseless or unfair circumstances, but those circumstances are the only way to expedite them from this harsh realm to the enlightened one they deserve.
Did you write that when Amy Winehouse died?
No, I wrote it when Amy Schumer got her second hour. I'm just kidding. That's just an Amy joke. I'm just, said Amy Winehouse. It's just making an Amy joke.
I honestly, from just listening to it, I feel like you were talking about yourself.
Well, no, I'm not clearly because I'm alive.
It was maybe written in a dark time when you were thinking about it.
I was a little worried as I was reading it that people would think, does he think this about himself? But the answer is no. Because I wrote it about somebody died, I read something about a child dying,
mm-hmm.
or something, you know, like a teenager who would, like, had a lot of promise or something like that. And I was like, God, that's what is the rhyme or reason to any of this? And then I was like, maybe the good die young because they need to be moved forward quickly, you know, to this other place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, it's a nice thought.
It's a nice thought, but probably it's just meaningless. Right? That's the more...
Look, I get really freaked out and depressed when I think about how there's probably not an afterlife, and that's very tough for me.
But you know what? Someone said something recently, and I don't know where this was, and it's, you know, it's probably something very popular and passe, but they said, you know, it's like the idea of not existing after we die. Think about, like, the French Revolution,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you think you got it in your mind?
Yeah.
Are you sad that you weren't there? Like, that you didn't exist when it happened?
No, why?
Yeah, well, it's the same thing as the fucking future. It's not now. You won't be there. Doesn't matter.
I don't agree with that.
Why not?
Give a shit about what happened before me. I give a shit about my life.
Right, but then when your life is over, it's essentially like the future is going to have a few French revolutions in the future, and you won't be there for them, but also you won't know about them or care.
Well, I won't be on Earth for them. I hope that I'm somewhere up in the ether for them.
Oh, man. What, ringing doorbells in heaven? Jesus Christ. Just ding-donging.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Just like you're fucking you're ding-dong. You're as useful as a ding-dong in a doorbell factory. Is that a saying?
A ding-dong? What the hell are you talking about?
It's a new Southern expression that I made up. You're as useful as a ding-dong in a doorbell factory.
You don't want to go to an afterlife.
Look, I just don't think there is one.
That's not the question. The question is not whether or not you think there is one. The question is, does it upset you that there might not be one?
I mean, yes, there's a chance. Yes, only because of the fact that as a child I was told... There was this, you know, place that's like essentially like a giant white psych with a little bit of mist on the ground, and everyone walks around in a state of like happiness, but it seems really boring as a child.
Right.
So just the idea that it was built in that I'd always have that, and then now that I'm like, I don't think that doesn't make any sense in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
From everything else I know about the world, it seems more like we just turn off, and we're not aware of the fact that we turn off.
I just don't think it's... Why? It doesn't make sense. I don't know.
Yes, it does make sense. And we'll just get weirdly philosophical for a moment, and then we'll get out of it, okay?
Whatever you want to do, Kurt.
I'll get bossy. Had a few drinks, we're getting bossy.
Go ahead.
I like the idea that we are conscious so that we can... We are the universe experiencing itself. Because without us being able to appreciate this, it merely exists without recognition.
Right.
Yeah.
But then how do you explain, you know, baby dies, doesn't have a chance to do that recognition or have that recognition.
Oh, yeah, it's meaningless.
6-year-old dies.
It's meaningless.
You know, I mean, it just doesn't seem to make any sense to me.
Isn't there a freedom in the meaninglessness, though? There's no evil. There's no ill intention to it. It's simply without reason.
I mean, the people I think that find freedom in the meaninglessness of it all. Look, I understand there's a freedom in, look, there's no point in worrying about stuff because you're alive now, so just enjoy. I get that part of it. But I feel like the people that truly indulge in the meaninglessness of it all are like serial killers who are like, who cares? I can do whatever I want. I'll do whatever I want. Like, this is a game. You know what I mean? And that's insane to me.
I agree. I agree 100%. I think there's...
I would like there to be some sort of a cosmic justice of some kind.
Oh, of course you would. You fought your whole life for an idea of cosmic justice. Of course you do.
Yeah.
It makes total sense to me. I don't think there is.
I don't think there is either. But that's why I get
depressed. If there was, Donald Trump wouldn't be fucking president.
Well, no, that's not how cosmic justice works.
How does it work?
It would work later.
Oh, it'll work later.
That's why it's called cosmic justice.
So when dinosaurs come back, there'll be
like
dinosaur.
If you died, you would have another experience that was an extension of this one or based on this one. And if you were a piece of shit down here, you would perhaps have not so great an experience in the next thing.
Great. Or so let me talk to
perhaps,
you about
perhaps
this.
Perhaps be told and taught what you did wrong and then have a new understanding on how to be on the next plane.
Man,
I don't know.
No way I think that's true. However, I want to throw this past you since you essentially brought up a version of reincarnation. I got a joke I'm working on. I want you to tell me if it's good or not. All right?
All right. I'll tell you my new joke for my act.
Great.
And I dreamt it, which is weird.
Nice.
All right.
So here's the joke. This is the joke. So we found out that my wife was pregnant with my daughter the day after my mom's funeral.
Yes.
And some people, you know, who are spiritual say, well, that's so beautiful. You know, the idea of reincarnation, that your mom was waiting to go until she had another vessel to come into this world with. And I say, yeah, that is, I guess, kind of beautiful. But also, if that's true, that means I've seen my mom's vagina a couple thousand times already. Is there anything there?
I think it's funny.
All right.
That's the route I would have went with it. I'm not higher brow than that. I dreamt this dream last night. I dreamt this joke last night. I woke up. I wrote it down. I'm like, that's actually a funny joke, I think.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm almost 40 years old. I don't have a biological clock. Women have a biological clock. I'm a man. Basically, Hulu is my biological clock. Because I'll be watching Hulu for long periods of time, and Hulu is essentially like, you're officially 17 consecutive episodes of Seinfeld closer to dying alone.
I like it. That's good.
I dreamt it.
That's great.
I can't believe I dreamt a good joke finally.
I know. Usually your dream jokes suck.
Yeah. In the dream, I was doing it like Seinfeld, though.
That's good.
Which when I woke up, I realized I couldn't do that. Anyway, what is your journal entry, Kurt? Because we're not going to solve the cosmic crisis
My
here.
Journal entry. Okay, so this is from... many years ago. We're coming on almost 10 years ago.
And is this about Amy Winehouse or Amy Schumer?
Of course. Both.
Both of them. Okay. What about Amy Irving?
This is about a very pivotal time in my life, Joe. Now, I had been dating someone from the age of 18 to the age of 31.
Yeah.
And we decided that we would sleep with other people for a few months to figure out whether or not we were going to get married.
You're Rumspringa. I'm familiar because that was the episode of This American Life I had to listen to prep my story that was ditched and never aired. So yeah, I know the whole story.
So this is, now I'll place you here. I've gone away. I've had romances with different people. I've come back, and now we have to make the decision. We have to decide whether or not we're going to break up.
Right.
Okay? This is after 3 months of random sexual encounters with other people.
Right.
Okay? And also, in order to know what this means, Mr. Bristles was a character I had written that I was doing in my stand-up, which was I would do stand-up and there was a man behind me who was my like kind of my security, who was Mr. Bristles.
Was there literally a man behind you?
Yeah. When I did it in L.A., Matt Bronger, he would wear like a bandana and sunglasses, said security, a shirt with said security, and then I would do my stand-up and then like a thing would happen. It was very heady and not funny. You would have hated it.
Kurt used to perform this bit at a club located on the corner of Oswald and Merman.
So here.
That's an off-comedy joke.
Starts off. What if Mr. Bristles is there so I'll never be alone? Because I'm lonely. Blank's birthday today. Tough day. Been riding the bike and talking with friends at length. Talked with blah, 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 numbers of people. The main thing bothering me right now is that I feel jealous of her with other men. Why? One, she showed it to me. Because she did. She, like, made out right after I came back from Australia. She, like, made out with a guy in front of her.
That was shitty. Why'd she do that?
Because I think it was her way of being like, this is real. Do you know what I mean? Like, this isn't make-believe.
Okay. Now I respect it.
Yeah.
Now I like that she did it. You deserved it.
Exactly.
Okay, fine.
So one, she showed it to me. Two, I'm not with women. And then there's a asterisk next to that sentence. Three, I'm lonely. Right after that, the asterisk is explained. But I was with blank last night, and it was awesome, amazing sex. Really beautiful and awesome. So I don't know why I was like so lonely.
Had empty sex with a dirt swine.
No, she's a very nice.
No,
person.
I know. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But my point is you felt lonely, obviously, because you it was empty sex.
Right.
She could have been a Rhodes Scholar. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It's you know.
And I think she went on to do like Disney on Ice. I think. Anyway,
as a skater or maybe more of a producer director type.
No, as a performer.
Oh, okay, yeah. good, because there's no money in the directing of ice shows.
But the main thing I feel is loneliness, and I'm worried I'm doing the wrong thing. But Jesus Christ, after this much time, I'd be an asshole if I didn't worry. And then I list reasons to break up and reasons to stay together. This was where I finally was like, for a 13-year relationship, this is what I'm going to come down to decide. And that's why I wanted to read this. It's like, if you're in a long-term relationship and you don't know if it's going good or bad, this is what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
One, reasons to break up. The gut feeling. Two, I didn't miss her in 3 months. Three, I've been thinking about doing this for 3 years, but always considered it taboo. Four, I want the freedom. Five, I want to be on my own. Both fear and freedom. Six, I've had powerful experiences with other people that it suggests a way of living that is preferable. I'm such a nerd when I write to myself.
But I mean, every argument is very valid.
And then here's reasons to stay together. One, we've been together so long. Not a good reason. Two, our age. Not a good reason.
That's even worse than the first reason.
Three, I'm still jealous of her.
Worse than the second reason.
Four, sex is great.
Not a bad reason, but not a good reason.
Five, we travel well together.
Again, you know, fine, but not a really a good reason.
And here's the best one. It's scribbled into the corner because I was running out of space. Six, we have a pleasant enough time together.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. My God.
So I think that was, at that point, I was like, okay, I made the right choice. We shouldn't be together.
No. Yeah, and I mean, and you wanted to stick your dirty dick into whatever you could in New York City.
The whole cast of the Ice Capades.
You wanted to put Kurt wanted to stick his worm into the Big Apple, everybody.
Oh, God.
Now, that's tough. It's tough because we come from very different backgrounds, as we've discussed many times. Like,
yep.
You were a relationship guy. I certainly was not, and I guess am not. I mean, I'm very open to the idea, but I just haven't really ever done it in a very long-term sense. But I have dated long enough to know that feeling where, you know, and this goes for male or female. This is men or women or gay or straight or for anybody. I think you can get yourself in a position in a relationship where it almost feels like a job. And I don't mean because you have to work at it. I mean because you feel like, what am I going to quit? I'm going to quit my job in this economy, and then I'm going to be out there and God knows
That's
what.
That's very scary.
And I won't find something else. And then this is life. This is what it is. Once you start saying that, I think you're fucked. Once you start, in any aspect of your life, once you start going, hey, man, this is just what it is. This is how it works. Nobody else is happy. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's a real bad place to be.
I'm excited. I feel like you're going to find somebody. I feel like you're going to find a lady who you really click with. All of this is going to change. And you're going to become a man who has very comfortable house shoes. And you wear these very comfortable house shoes with her. And you guys sit on either end of the couch. And you get high. And you watch horror movies together.
Yeah.
And you, all you want to do is that.
Sure.
And that's your comfortable house shoe lady.
Yeah.
That you're going to find that. I know you are.
I've been doing that alone for many years. So basically what you described is my great solo life. If somebody wants to come be a part of that, come on in.
I mean, you're gonna be able to find that person.
I don't doubt it at all. I have no regrets about the way I've conducted my dating and relationship life so far. I truly don't.
Good.
I've taken some chances. I've been hurt. I've had some wonderful times. I've been up and down the whole roller coaster, whatever you want to call it. I've had a great time, and I know that and I've enjoyed the company of dating many different people, and I don't say that in a boorish way. I just feel lucky that I've gotten to have so many experiences with so many different people, and I'm still friends with many of them. You know, it always seems to end pretty well. So I know that for the most part, intentions and experiences all were, you know, looked back upon fondly or whatever you want to call it. So I don't regret anything, but, you know, I feel, you know, even as I approach 40, I've always sort of felt that like the 40s was when I was going to finally, because I needed to burn some stuff out of me. I needed to burn out on wanting to go out with my buddies.
Yeah.
That was my first Achilles heel when I was in college and stuff. I wanted to hang out more with my buddies than I did with the girls I was dating.
That, I mean, I felt that so strongly, but I was in a relationship.
Yeah.
So I would always cave, and I never got to like just do the, and I would always come back to the house that I lived in, which was all these guys that I loved, and they would have had the most crazy, insane night, and I had left at like 11:30 because my girlfriend wanted me to come home. And then that's what caused me at age 31 to go fucking crazy.
Right.
For probably 7 years straight.
Right.
Like just lose my mind from 31 to 38.
So you met Lauren when you were 38?
No, probably. Well, we were going crazy together for a little bit of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's I had to exhaust certain things in my system.
Yeah.
You know, one of them was hanging out with your buddies. One of them was wanting to, paint the town night after night. One of them was experimenting with drugs and whatever else, you know, and having that kind of weird fun. And quite frankly, and I say this very respectfully and respectably, because it was always handled that way. But one of them was just kind of sexual exploration. Just I gotten myself into a career in entertainment where I, for the first time in my life, was meeting several different types of women. And I had a chance to spend time with several different types of women. And I wanted to explore that, you know. So these are all things that, you know, I think certain people have to get out of their system, you know. And I think that's okay, male or female. Go do it if you want to do it. There's no shame in any of it. Go have fun. Be careful. Be respectful.
You know, people say sometimes that you're like a late in life gay. You ever heard that term?
No.
No, is that not a term?
Well, I believe that that people are born gay, Kurt, and it's not a condition that can be fixed, like you always say when we're not recording.
No, but this idea that this idea that it's late in life where it's like you finally feel free of like all of the shackles that have kind of like kept you down, and you've been lying to yourself this whole time, but you've been keeping up appearances, and then you finally come free and you're like, ah, at like 60 years old, I can finally be who I really wanted to be because my husband died or my wife died. Or
that's what happened with Kevin Meaney.
What?
I said that's what happened with Kevin Meaney.
So that's what I'm talking about.
He came out at like, God, he was 50?
Yeah.
Or something?
So that's what I'm talking about. I feel like you're a late in life relationship guy. Like
yeah.
you'll find it at 45 and you're going to be super happy.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it.
Did I tell you I visited my brother. He lives in Poland.
He does.
Yeah, and got off the plane. I wore sweatpants on the plane, and then I got and unpacked my bag and realized that I hadn't packed pants. I am an adult man who forgot pants for a European vacation.
So what did you do?
I had to go to the mall, this Polish mall, and buy jeans, and they were like $250.
That's expensive.
It's got to be a better way, Joe.
There is a better way, Kurt. Distilled. That's spelled D-S-T-L-D. They offer luxury-grade denim at affordable prices. These jeans would normally cost you hundreds of dollars, like you paid $250, whatever it was, in Poland. Guess what? Distilled has jeans. They're starting at $75.
And they utilize the same fabrics, factories, and wash houses as the best-known brands and designers, while skipping the markups and middlemen. The result? Pure, unadulterated denim without the retail runaround.
So just go to distilled.com. That's D-S-T-L-D.com. D-S-T-L-D.com. And see where minimalist design meets maximum comfort.
That's it, guys. Just go to dstld.com right now and use the promo code FERAL at checkout to get 20% off your first pair. That's dstld.com, promo code FERAL. Five letters, dstld.com. So, I know, to move on, that you have some information about a possible connection to family.
Yeah. So I got my 23andMe results. As the listeners know, we've been doing this thing. We both joined 23andMe. I'll give you a brief overview. First of all, they send you the first thing, because I did the ancestry one and the medical history one. So when you do it that way, the first thing they send you is an email with a list of diseases that they're like, we're going to let you know if you're predetermined to get any one of these. And there's like 80 fucking diseases, which I didn't know there were that many diseases.
I didn't know there was at least 81 diseases.
I thought there were about 5 diseases, like big ones. You know, I was like, though it'll be like cancer, Parkinson's, MS. You know, it'll be like those. Maple syrup urine syndrome? Do you know what that is?
What? Well, that's a real disease?
They know what it is.
No.
And they put it on the list.
Maple syrup urine disease?
Yeah. Type 1B, which means there's a type 1A and a type 1. But yeah, I looked that up. Means your pee smells like maple syrup before you go into metabolic shock. So.
You're not at risk for that.
I didn't get the results for that one back.
Okay.
I only have some of the health results back, but good to say, no genes for any of these things so far.
Oh, and for those of you who are just, this might be your first episode of Emotional Hangs, Joe, we both did 23andMe to try and find my secret brother, and Joe, his biological parents.
Yeah, so they got back to me about, I don't have the Parkinson's gene, which was nice. I don't have late onset Alzheimer's. The gene for that. That's nice. So here's the bigger stuff that I found out. 96.1% North African and
wow.
Middle Eastern. But I am predominantly North African.
So you're Moroccan, maybe?
So North African, my exact percentage of North African blood is 83.6%. That's way more than I thought it was.
Wow.
I am 9.3% Middle Eastern and 3.2% Middle Eastern and North African, and then 2.7% European.
Wow.
So these numbers get a little loose, obviously. But yeah, so I'm a North African person.
Okay.
Which is Egypt.
Yeah. Egypt, Morocco.
Morocco. I think that's kind of it.
Tangiers? Is that up there? I'd have to pull out a map. It's not I have one in my pocket.
I thought I was Egyptian. And then I took the Ancestry.com test, and I thought I was an Egyptian. Now I think I might be Egyptian again. So
I say Egyptian.
Yeah, I think that's kind of just what I'm going to roll with from now on. North Africa. I mean, North African sounds odd because it's so vague. That's like saying North American.
No, it's way different.
Why?
North American is three different countries, a huge expanse. And North African is a much smaller area.
Also, I just got
nervous that Morocco is a city and not a... No, Morocco is totally a country. Woo!
Yeah, no, Morocco's a... I could have told you,
you
that.
You could be Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Algiers. Yeah, Algiers is in Algeria. And where's Egypt? Oh, Libya, Egypt. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Libya. That's an exciting one.
Yeah, you could really be... You got a realm... Got exciting mix.
Yeah, so there's that. I found out that I have 99 blood relatives that they were able to locate. None of them are immediate. So they didn't. My parents weren't on here because I'm adopted. You know, my biological parents. There were no brothers and sisters or first cousins or whatever. But there were 99 third through sixth cousins or something like that. And all of them currently live in either California or New York.
Oh, wow.
Which is weird. So, because those are the two places I've lived. So I'm like, that's odd, man. Like, so I am tempted to maybe try to find these people. I haven't started doing that yet.
What's the closest relation? I'll tell you if you should try.
Third cousin.
No.
You're pretty far out at that point.
Third cousin is essentially a stranger, right?
Well, not necessarily. And somebody might be able to say, hey, I know so-and-so who knows so-and-so who knows who your parents were. I mean, you never know.
All right.
You know? You never know. But I don't know yet. Like you said, but a third cousin could also be a stranger. So that's why I'm like, I don't know if I want to pursue the third cousin. But anyway, late onset Alzheimer's disease, variant not detected. Parkinson's disease, variant not detected. Very happy about those two things. Thrombophilia, hereditary, variant not detected, so that's good.
Why don't you just read all 80?
No, that's all I got.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, and then there's
eight. That would have been exciting.
Eight wellness reports. Genetic weight, predisposed to weigh less than average. That is true. I should weigh a lot more than I do. Lactose intolerant. Likely intolerant. That's true. I have certain lactose issues. Saturated fat and weight. Likely similar weight. That's true. Alcohol flush reaction. Unlikely to flush when drinking alcohol. That's true. Deep sleep. Less likely to be a deep sleeper. That's true.
No, this is not genetics.
Yeah.
This is genetics. Is deep sleep or not deep sleep?
Sleep movement. Likely more than average movement. That's true. So they nailed a lot of this stuff. Muscle composition. Common in elite power athletes. That's not true. Maybe it could have been. Caffeine consumption. Likely to consume less. That's sort of true. I'm not like a... You know, I drink coffee in the morning, but I'm not like a big soda drinker.
That's creepy that they can tell how much caffeine you're going to drink from your blood.
Yeah, they can... Well, spit. It's not even blood.
It's spit.
So, anyway... So those are the results, and, you know, that's kind of where we
are. Here's my question. Let's get away from the data, and when you open that up, were you upset at all that you, like, that? This was a possibility of you finding out who your parents are.
I wouldn't say I was upset. I was excited when I saw the results were in. Then I got a little nervous, like, holy shit, this is a big moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I clicked on it, and I was like, oh, no, this isn't really getting me that much closer to where I thought I was. I'm thrilled. I was actually the most
happy or pleased about the disease result stuff. You know, the health results of not being predisposed to certain things that I'm terrified of. So, like, that was at least, you know, it's obviously not a guarantee that I'm not going to get them, but that was nice to be like, okay, cool. Like,
all right,
I'm
so not, it didn't upset you.
No, because what are you going to do? It's like I've lived with this for almost 40 years. It's not, you know.
Right.
So it was sort of like, it was very similar to the feeling you get when you think you might get a good job in the business and you know you're close and you're like, oh, that'd be so great. And then your manager or agent calls and goes, listen,
they love you.
Yeah, it came down to you
but
and this other
person.
But
they're going a different way.
Yeah. And you're like, ah, shit. Yeah, that's a bummer. All right, I'm fine, whatever. You know, like, what are you going to do? I don't know.
So here's what you're going to do. Did you already do Ancestry?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Same. I hadn't done it. So I got on, I found this Facebook friend, a Facebook group called The Search Squad. And it's a closed Facebook group. You can join it if you want. And essentially, you go on this Facebook group, and there's these 90 what they call search angels. And these are people who work free of charge to try and help people connect with either biological parents or lost siblings or a child that they're looking for.
Okay.
And so I posted my information about my mom, that she had a son before me, and I'm trying to meet my half-brother. And there's immediately a woman was like, I have someone who fits that description, i.e. born in 1960 in the tri-state area at a Catholic convent / orphanage.
Oh, shit.
And so I'm, you know, waiting to see what that is. But they all recommend doing Ancestry.com. So I ordered the fucking kit and I spit in it today and I mailed it out.
I don't know
if it's going to be any different from 23andMe.
I mean, I could go back to Ancestry and log in. Maybe there's something I missed. When I did it, it was just to tell you genetically what you were.
No, so there's like a family finder. It's called Family Finder.
Oh, well, I'm already a member, so I
can. So, yeah, get in there. I think you might have to pay extra for it. They really just try and get you one last time.
Up the gooch.
Yeah.
All right, I'll look into that.
And also, if you really are interested, but you're still on the fence as whether or not you want to find your parents, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, too. And it's not even if it's not a fear thing. It's just I don't know that my life would be any better because of it.
Right.
So it's a tough call for me. It's a tough call to say, yeah, I should definitely go do that, or I definitely shouldn't. It's just, I don't know. And given the fact that now I've done two DNA tests, both have come back with, you know, some mildly surprising results, but nothing crazy. They haven't led me, you know, it's not, no new trail of breadcrumbs has popped up because of either. And there were also some projects in the business that I was trying to pursue at one point that related to my adoption that never came to fruition. So I just feel like every time I try to pursue this in any way, it doesn't really ever seem to get rolling.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's fine. It doesn't mean I shouldn't do it. It just always kind of brings me back to the same place of like, do I need to do it? Is it necessary? I don't know. But I will revisit Ancestry.com. I will see what this Family Finder feature is, and I will look into I probably won't look into the Facebook group because I'm not really on Facebook, but...
Well, if you want me to post for you, I can post for you.
All right. Well, I'll let you know. Right. I have a fan page, Kurt. So maybe I could have those people. No, I'm kidding. I do have a fan page. I just never check the page anymore, though. Yeah. I don't know. I hate social media. I'm tired of it. Well, what's your assignment going to be for this week?
Well, my assignment is to, you know, I've contacted everybody I think I can contact to try and find my brother. So now it's honestly about, you know, I went on the New Jersey website to like try and order a birth certificate records from the mother, and you have to know like what town and what year, and I know neither. I don't even know if it was in New Jersey. So I'm honestly at a dead end. I'm just hoping one of these search angels or whatever from this closed Facebook group can help me, because I don't know.
Why is Search Angels a play on Earth Angel, that song?
I don't know. I have really no idea. There are people, I think, who've probably found family members, found out how it changed their life, and now they do this out of the kindness of their hearts. They just help other people.
Do you have to address the person as my search angel?
Yeah, you have to. And you have to give them an angel name. I'm going to give mine Gabriel.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a little pretentious, but you maybe go for a lower rung angel off the bat. You don't just claim Gabriel for yourself.
I mean, what's a lower? Glenn? Angel Glenn?
I got to be honest. I only know Michael and Gabriel.
That's, I was going to say Michael. There's Michael, Gabriel, and Satan.
I think Michael is Satan, isn't he?
No, Saint Michael is. No, he's who slew
Satan
and threw him down.
Was Satan called Lucifer when he was up in the angel?
I guess so, yeah.
World?
Angel Lucifer.
Oh, yeah, it must have been, right?
Yeah.
The archangel Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Cast out of heaven.
Yeah, no, I think Michael and Gabriel are archangels, whatever that means. You know my aunt is a nun who is in this very radical sect of Roman Catholicism.
Yeah, they like skateboard and stuff.
They got a fucking empty pool in the back of the convent. They fucking grind it, man.
Yeah, they're always watching MTV. Those nuns.
They know the words to the Bones Brigade video backwards and forwards, dude.
Oh, Jesus. I did know that about your aunt, but continue with what you were going to say.
But like the whole sect of her Catholicism is, it's essentially Catholic voodoo, because they believe in all of like the minuscule angels that like aren't, I don't even think they're in the fucking Bible. It's in like these like secret texts that they only have access to. And it's like Saint Timothy and Saint Tim Tam. It's like, it's insane. Like the shit that she tells me to pray to. And it's just like mumbo jumbo cuckoo bird shit.
Well, you know, look, it's, I don't know, you know, keep
Again,
her on your, look,
if you think you're going to go live with the angels,
if
I
praying
get it.
To, look, if praying to, you know, Saint Fiddle Faddle gets this nun to help you with your investigation, I say you get her to help you with your investigation.
Oh, no, this search angel, these search angels are just normal human beings.
No, your
beings.
Aunt.
Oh, no, my aunt doesn't know. My aunt doesn't know about any of this stuff. She's
Why don't
just
you
in
contact
a
her?
I can't let her know about this.
She knows about it. How do you think there's...
No, I contacted my mom's brother. He didn't know about it. He lived with my mom when she left for 6 months to go to a convent.
And
to
he
have a
thought,
child.
All this time, he still thought, oh, she just went to the convent.
He didn't even notice she was gone.
I don't believe that.
He didn't. He was shocked. He was shocked.
But here's the thing. I never knew that part of this. I knew that he was not into talking about it. But I didn't know that he had no awareness of it.
No, they had no awareness of it. And then one brother, she has two brothers, emailed both of them. One responded. And again, we talked about it before. There's a lot of emotionally related shit.
Right.
That I was uncomfortable with. The other one just never responded.
That's so God.
It's so crazy.
Old world, quote, values, unquote. I mean, are just, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. People can't shake those things off.
No, but we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep trying here at Emotional Hangs to find these people. Or at least I'm going to keep trying. Joe will continue to feel wishy-washy about the whole endeavor.
I'm going
to
try some more. I'm just, you know, I don't know. I also want to thank our listeners, the wonderful, wonderful listeners of this podcast, and also the listeners of We'll See You in Hell, my other podcast, which I will plug as I'm bringing it up. It's on the HeadGum Network, Movie Reviews, Patrick Walsh and myself. Go and enjoy it if you like that sort of thing. But anyway, the wonderful listeners have been going to iTunes and leaving very, very nice reviews.
Except for one.
No. Not for our podcast. Well, for our podcast, yes. This is a more personal thing. For my albums that I was asking people to help me fix.
Oh, they've been doing it?
Yeah, the ratings.
Oh, by the way, I was invited on Anthony Cumia's show, and I said no. Because I was like, no way.
Well, we're
going.
Friends now. We're
oh,
fine.
You are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could
I
have done a
said
show.
No.
Yeah, we're friends now.
You're friends now? Like, all of your shit still has one star because of his shit.
Well, his fans did what they did. Look, what are you going to do? We all, as we said when we made amends, we all did things we shouldn't have done. You know what I mean? And
all
I
right. will.
And I'm comfortable leaving it at that. And I don't mean that in a dismissive way. Like, I really feel at peace with the whole thing. So I have no grudge there. We hung out in New York a few months back and had a lot of laughs and really had a. It was nice to catch up. That being said, the ratings are still not fixed, but our listeners have been going and fixing them, and the album ratings are up to like 3.5 stars now.
That's great.
So, guy, I don't want to overstep my welcome. I don't look a gift horse in a mouth. If you can keep doing it, thank you, because it's working, and I appreciate it. And that's it. Listen to these podcasts that I'm doing, and Joe DeRosa Comedy on Twitter and Instagram, and I'll see you soon.
Whoa. And guys, if you're out there doing a tour with the Big Sick, it's me, Ray Romano, Kumail Nanjiani, A.D. Bryant. We're coming to New York, Philly, Boston, and L.A. You can go find out tickets at BigSick.com. And also listen to my podcast with my wife. It's on Audible. It's called Wedlock. It's all about relationships. Enjoy it. Later.